The mainstream media ignores a school shooting, a woman is denied a kidney transplant, and a teacher forces her students to sing a pro-mask song. I'm William Hall, and this is The William Hall Show. All right, so one of the main stories that you may not have even have heard about at all is actually involving a school shooting. Now, typically when there's a school shooting, the entire nation is aware of this. You hear it all over the place. It's on the mainstream media, all of the news outlets, pretty much all over the place. But this one is an exception, and there's a really one major reason why that's the case. But this is all because the actual suspect in this school shooting was black, okay? That's why the media is not covering this. That's why you're not going to hear about it, except from a few conservative outlets in this show where I try to bring you the stories that the mainstream media is typically going to try and hide. So the student, it was actually the main student that actually shot several people was involved in this fight, okay, with another student. There's no evidence to know exactly why the fight started, how it started, but whatever the reason was, is that they were in this big brawl in this classroom. This kind of a short video clip, but honestly, it's hard to really see everything that was going on. So the actual report shows that the student shot and wounded four people on Wednesday morning, and this is at Timberview High School in Arlington, Texas. The actual name of the suspect is Timothy George Simpkins, 18 years old, and has shot four people. They all lived. I believe there was just a few that were severely injured in this particular situation. So the police had arrived because they were told that there was a fight between students on the second floor of the school, and then one of the students pulled out a gun, and then at that point, opened fire on, from what they're saying here, was three students and one adult. Well, the adult in that situation was actually the teacher. So the teacher got shot. Three students got shot as well on Wednesday. Now, one person was treated on site there at the school, and then three others were transported to the hospital for treatment. But as far as I know, all of them are alive. But this still constitutes as a mass shooting of several people that have been shot at, in one given instance. And what you're not seeing is the media covering this, because the media doesn't want to portray any story that's going to go against the left's narrative. We have to understand how this works. You know, there was a few episodes ago, I did kind of a story talking about Joy Reid, where she was talking about, oh, you know, when there's a missing person, they only do it because of race. It's just racism. That's why. It's just they only care when it's a cute white woman. Well, here's a situation where three kids got shot, teacher gets shot. They're not covering it because of the fact that this person is black. That's what's going on here that you're seeing. It's the mainstream media's fault. It's not ours. It's not the normal people. It's the mainstream media that's basically trying to control what it is that you know about certain stories. So the family of the suspect actually spoke out in reference to what was going on. And we're oddly enough, honestly, this is a weird clip, but they blame this whole thing on bullying.
He was scared. He was afraid. There's a video that's all out on social media, and it shows that he was being attacked. It wasn't just one person that would attack him and bully him, taking his money, harassing him due to the fact because he had more things than maybe others. It takes us all. It takes us all to stand together about this bullying. It could have been a situation where he took the other turn and decided to commit suicide. What the decision that he made, taking the gun, we're not justifying that. That was not right. But he was trying to protect himself. And so we hope that the police department does the investigation properly. There are going to be independent investigations that's going to be done as well, so that we can get to the bottom of really what happened.
Well, and you say that he was bullied exactly because he had, clearly y'all have a little bit of money, you know what I mean? Like, because of money situation, or what all are you saying that he was bullied about, and how many times did y'all report that?
Well, due to the fact that they were blessed financially. And so he was able to, you know, get things maybe that other children could not get or teenagers could not have. And so because he wore nice clothes and because he drove nice cars and because he had the things, he was like a target, outgoing, loving person, being that he's been around his grandmother, his loving mother. They taught him to love, and he was a giver, you know, mostly like well-liked up until the point to where he got into his senior year. And it really became, he was looking forward. He's looking forward to graduating and doing something with his life.
What would you like to say to the victims' families at the same time?
The victims' family, there is no justification of anybody who's being hurt. We have to take a look at the fact that bullying is real, and it takes us all. And I do apologize, we ask as a family, for forgiveness of any type of hurt. It was never intention for it to go on like this.
Now, once again, I don't know exactly the situation that spurred this on. They're saying it was bullying, and they're saying it's because he had nice stuff, and maybe the kids were jealous, and that's what spurred all of this on. I don't think they have any clue really what was taking place here. I mean, let's be honest here. A lot of this blame has to fall on the parents, the ones in that video right there, because he acquired this gun from their home. The parents had no idea that he had taken that gun. So, obviously, he had the gun illegally, and then bringing it to the school is also illegal as well, of course. So, you have this kid at 18 years old that took a gun from his parents' house, parents didn't know it, had the gun in a place where, obviously, he could find it, brings it to school, gets in a fight with somebody else, shoots three students and a teacher, and you're going to blame it on bullying. This is a failure of parenting right here. That's what this says to me. Of course, the family's going to come out and say what they always typically try to say. My son was an angel. He couldn't hurt anybody. Yeah, sure. Except he did. And that's where we're at in this particular situation. And by the way, let's take a couple of different examples here. Let's look at this one. And let's compare this to Kyle Rittenhouse. If you remember, Kyle Rittenhouse was the guy that actually was defending himself against Antifa and all of that last year during the BLM riots and everything. There was a big fight and all of that stuff was breaking out. People had guns and everything, and he had a gun and used it as self-defense to basically save his life. And he was thrown in prison for this. By the way, Kyle Rittenhouse's bail was set at $2 million, okay? And obviously Kyle Rittenhouse is white. And Simpkins, this suspect in this situation, their bail is set at $75,000. Yeah, I mean, that's crazy. The difference there is massive. So you've got $2 million for the white guy defending himself, and then the black parent saying that he's defending himself. I mean, even if that's to be believed right now, while they're still collecting evidence on this, gets a bail set at $75,000. That's crazy. The difference there. And we're, you know, you always hear everyone saying, well, there's this systemic racism and so many things are wrong. But let's look at the facts here. If you're looking for the point that we've been trying to make for years, this is it. This is it. Because of the way that our society has been politicized. Right now, they've already created a society where if you are in a situation where you're trying to defend yourself and you're white and it happens to be in a situation where it's these BLM people that are attacking you or Antifa, then all of a sudden, you're the demon. You are going to be treated significantly worse than a black person doing something significantly worse for way less justifiable reasons, as you can obviously tell. There was no reason why all of these people needed to be shot or the teacher that weren't even involved in the fight. It's just crazy. And by the way, just a little stat here, 64% of gun incidents actually happen at schools where the majority of students are minorities. Surprise, surprise. So this shouldn't come as any surprise for anybody. It's a sad story about a child shooting teachers, students. The reasoning behind it really doesn't matter. This is a failure of parenting on a massive level. And the even sadder part is that the mainstream media will refuse to report this simply because the suspect isn't white. Because they've always had to do that. I mean, this was the argument. Every time there was some type of shooting, it was, I bet he's white. The second that they find out that they're not, the media just hushes up. Nothing. Radio silence. Okay? That happened so many times. There was that, I think it was the Islam guy at the grocery store that shot several people. I mean, that story got whisked away in the media. Within a week, it was gone. Everybody was talking about it, and then nobody was talking about it. That's how powerful the media is. They don't just control what you do know, they control what you don't know. And that should be scary for everybody, because they have way too much power. But the media is not the only ones that have the power. You have to look at social media as well. And in this particular situation, last episode, I talked a little bit about the Facebook whistleblower. Now, I'm kind of putting air quotes around whistleblower because this isn't really a whistleblower. Because a normal whistleblower, which I will be covering a little bit later in the show with Project Veritas, is a person that is actually going kind of really against the grain of the company, against the grain of the media, of what people would normally want them to do. They're exposing the company in a way that is to say, you know what, this company is doing things in a dirty way. They're being just ridiculous with their actions. And by me coming out, I'm exposing them, exposing the corruption, exposing what's happening here. Well, really, all this whistleblower, if you want to call it that, was doing is really just getting Facebook to giving them license to do what they already wanted to do. We know that Facebook wants to censor people more. I mean, if they had their way, they would be able to censor every single thing you see online, which they already censor a lot of it. But if they really had their way, they'd be able to do this. What better way than to basically get a whistleblower to show up, talk to the media, have a perfect interview on 60 Minutes, testify to Congress, all of this stuff, just so that you can validate doing what you were already wanting to do. So really, this whistleblower is not really a whistleblower. They're really kind of like a pawn or Facebook or somebody that they're obviously using. So if you looking at a little bit more information about her specifically, the former Obama deputy press secretary Bill Burton and his consulting firm are actually working with her. Okay, so these are the people. This guy, once again, Obama's former press secretary, and his firm were actually helping her come out with this story and everything. So this would mean that they have to obviously align politically for this to happen. Clearly, this guy's a Democrat, but so is she, because this is all a part of the Democrat initiative here. That's what this is all about. So Bill Burton does not believe in free speech in America, obviously. And then she also wants to control your voice and everything that you see online through censorship, because that's what she wants to do. So she's a tool for the left. That's what's going on. Now, the fact is that we have to look at a little bit more of the information on her as well. So apparently it's reported that the whistleblower has donated 37 times and given nearly $2,000 to Democrats and related PACs since 2016 while employed at Facebook, Pinterest, and Gigster. She's also a part of the anti-Trump Facebook team that banned the Hunter Biden story as well from their platforms in the lead up to the 2020 election. Now, many of you have probably knew about that, but the whole New York Post story that was filled, by the way, with factual information on Hunter Biden. These were picture evidence. There was nothing in those articles that was a lie or a fabrication whatsoever, but simply because they knew it would hurt Biden, they actually suppressed that article. They took it offline and refused to allow people to see it, share it, or view it or anything. She was behind that. So all of that talk, because I kind of dived into why misinformation is such a useless term, but all of that talk about her feeling like there was so much misinformation and that's all she really cares about, this isn't about misinformation. It's about a political narrative. That's why she obviously was going against this Hunter Biden story. It wasn't a fabrication. It was an entirely factual story, well reported by the New York Post and other conservative outlets, and they suppressed these articles because they didn't want it to hurt Biden. That's not misinformation. That's you being a partisan hack. That's what Facebook is. Ultimately, that's what they are. So Hogan, which is the last name of the whistleblower, told the Washington Street Journal that she only joined Facebook in the first place because she wanted to fight misinformation. Don't forget that line, because ultimately that is the most important thing here. She joined Facebook to specifically censor more information. That was what she wanted to do. That was her specialty. That's why she was there. It was not that she was trying to make Facebook a better site or a better application for you and me and other users. She specifically joined to hide information. So that is entirely, entirely crucial. So a little bit of a different story here. This was actually kind of similar to one that I reported on a while ago, but this one is, I think, in a lot of ways more egregious. So this is about a woman that was actually trying to get a kidney transplant, and she was denied the ability to get that transplant, and you probably already know why. It's because she didn't have the vaccination. Now, this is based off of, this took place in one of Colorado's largest hospital systems that they have. So they implemented a new policy, this was out of nowhere, that denies organ transplants to patients who have not taken the COVID-19 vaccination under pretty much every single situation. So the policy reads, all organ donors will have to be vaccinated under this new policy. So they also put in another section of this, and the lady's name in this situation was Leilani Lutani. And basically she was told that her organ status for the transplant was inactive for non-compliance. That's what they said, for non-compliance, okay? So she had been chosen not to take the actual shot, by the way. So this wasn't like it was some random happenstance type of deal. She chose not to take the vaccine, and they basically banned her and kept her from being able to even be on the list for the transplant. Now, she was given 30 days to take the shot, or else she'd be removed from the list completely. So she actually has stage 5 renal failure, and was told by the hospital in August that she wouldn't need to be vaccinated to get her new kidney, and was only aware of the hospital's new policy when she received her letter in the mail, which is ridiculous, okay? So she basically was lied to. She was told one thing, and then it changed, and then all of a sudden, she wasn't able to do what she needed to do anymore. So she said in a quote here, "I said I'll sign a medical waiver. I already have to sign a medical waiver anyway for the transplant itself, releasing them from doing anything that could possibly go wrong. It's surgery. It's invasive. I signed a waiver for my life. I'm not sure why I can't sign a waiver for the COVID shot." And she's absolutely correct here, because what she's basically saying is that regardless of what happens, like, why force me to get the vaccine? Like, I'm assuming their justification of it is, well, we want to make sure that you're in your best health or whatever, ignoring obviously the facts, because there's no way they're paying attention to the facts and saying that. But let's say that that's their argument, okay? And she's saying, well, look, if I'm in my best health anyways, you're still going to make me sign a waiver basically saying if you kill me in the process of the surgery that I can pursue no repercussions whatsoever, right? So what difference does it make if I get the COVID vaccination or not? Just put on there, hey, look, you didn't get the vaccination, so we can't guarantee blah, 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 blah. But that's not what they're going to do. They haven't done that at all. And so what you have now is basically legalized murder. It's allowing people to basically say, you know what, we're not going to give you this opportunity that we told you that you could totally have. We've changed everything, and now you're going to die because of a vaccine that we can't even prove is that effective anymore. That's crazy to me. That's absolutely crazy. And this is just somebody that's like, look, I just don't want to take it because I, you know, want more information on it. It's not the information that's out there. It's just kind of inconclusive to me, not good enough for me. What you have, I mean, what in the world happened to the Hippocratic Oath? Where did that go? To do no harm. I mean, where is that at? All I'm seeing now is the Hippocratic Oath, right? I mean, that's what it's turned into. These people don't care about your health. They don't care about anything else. You see it right there when they say, well, it's for non-compliance. It's for not doing what we told you to do. What's next? If you think this is the end of the line, it's not. It's far from it. But it goes beyond just the hospitals. It also originates from the actual companies itself, like Pfizer, right? Pfizer, the biggest company to have profited like crazy off of this. I actually reported on Gab, basically saying that they made $15 billion off of doing this vaccine because the government's paying them to do all of this. This is not doing nothing but lining the pockets of these companies. Remember, there's no money in a cure. We can argue all day about stats, numbers, and whatever it is, but the fact is, there's no money in a cure. Because once it's gone, they can make no more money. But the perfect business plan is to keep things going forever, booster after booster after booster, and before you realize it, you've made billions and billions and billions of dollars simply for continuing to string people along. That's the way that this stuff works. That's how Big Pharma makes their money. And now the government has simply just backed these companies. So Pfizer just got exposed as well from Project Veritas. Now, make no mistake, this is a real whistleblower here, okay? This isn't the fake one that we saw before that's kind of, you know, actually trying to make sure they improve their stuff or join the company to really do what they want it to do in a more extreme way. That's not what this is. This is a real whistleblower right here. Check this out.
I work at a pharmaceutical company. I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I just believe in research and science.
Well, in this database, you came across a chain of emails discussing fetal tissue and the COVID vaccine. Vanessa Gelman, who works in Washington, D.C., is Senior Director of Worldwide Research. A question came up as an inquiry to our MedInfo group. They're asking, quote, did Pfizer make use of a cell line from an aborted fetus?
They want you to leave out the highlighted part, which is the one or more cell lines with an origin that can be traced back to human fetal tissue has been used in laboratory tests associated with the vaccine program.
And here we have your badge. You are an employee of Pfizer?
I work at the McPherson, Kansas plant. It's one of the biggest plants in the operation of Pfizer. We produce some of the most units.
This message from Vanessa Gilman.
From the perspective of corporate affairs, we want to avoid having the information on the fetal cell lines floating out there. We believe that the risk of communicating this right now outweighs any potential benefit that we could see, particularly with general members of the public who may take this information and use it in ways we may not want it out there. We have not received any questions from policymakers or media on this issue in the last few weeks, so we want to avoid raising this if possible.
Wow. We believe that the risk of communicating this right now outweighs any potential benefit we could see. They ought to put that on American currency. Philip Dormitzer, Vice President, Chief Scientific Officer. These are not low-level people here. So you're showing us emails between the Vice President of Pfizer, the Senior Director of Worldwide Research, about how to couch it a certain way, because we would not want to tell the people that it can be traced back to human fetal tissue. Copying Vanessa Gelman, we have an approved answer to this question, the question being about fetal tissue. Which Vanessa can probably provide, HEK2932. What does that mean, HEK cells?
Human embryo kidney cells, and okay. It was from experiment 293.
They've used cells from aborted fetuses.
Yes,
and they don't
cells.
Want the public to know that.
Yes.
That's staggering for society because of what you said, religious exemptions.
And they're denying our religious exemptions at Pfizer.
This is serious stuff you're dealing with. These are powerful people. And a very powerful company.
They're withholding knowledge on people's approval if they can consent or not.
From Sarah Elizabeth Weiser, the principal scientist.
She's just making sure, you know, just be clear, you would like medical information to reply with the text in red below, including the highlighted section.
Okay.
Thanks again. And then they responded with,
no, I would prefer that we do not use the text in yellow.
They're being so deceptive in their emails, it's almost like it is in the final vaccine. It just made me not trust it.
There was an issue with the FDA and
I heard something about they're doing some sort of tests in there with lights, but I'm not sure. And I said, in unoccupied rooms and in a group lead office? And he goes, well, the FDA is coming. I could not believe that they were blacking out windows down in our manufacturing rooms. We are told that you should be seen at all times, that we need to make sure that we have high integrity and the rooms that are like this one where you can see my reflection, it's a group lead office where they just do the paperwork for the batches. So why does that need blacked out?
And why did you decide to come to Project Veritas?
Because I felt it was the right thing to do. I feel like I have no one else to turn to when my own company won't be honest with me. What I was told to do was to trust Project Veritas and to go with you guys by lawmakers, by lawyers.
Really?
I was really genuinely traumatized and sickened from the things I saw, and I needed to leave there. So I just took a leave of absence so that I could gather my thoughts and really kind of heal from this information.
The extraordinary act of blowing the whistle on the company and publishing emails from their vice president is another step entirely. Are you afraid of doing this?
A little bit. I have faith that I'll be protected, or whatever the outcome is what it's supposed to be. So I'm at peace with it. I'm a little anxious on what they'll do or what they'll say, but it needs to be seen by the people because they're trying to get this to kids. And if they're being this deceptive about it, I don't feel comfortable being silent.
So yeah, I'll be the first one to tell you. I knew about the fetal tissue thing for a while, actually. I had seen this information kind of floating around and did my own research and saw exactly what they were doing. Now, the thing is that if you put this anywhere, they're going to flag it as medical misinformation. Okay, the literal tweet with this video on Twitter right now, you can't comment, you can't retweet, you can't do anything. You can't like it or anything like that because they said that it's misleading. I'm curious, what's misleading about an actual Pfizer employee saying something about it? Something about what they have seen with an email that is proven to actually come from the CEO. What is misinformation about that? Oh, wait, it's just that Twitter doesn't like it. That's what this is, okay? So the fact is that these fact checkers have no idea what it is they're talking about, and they do the same thing for this fetal tissue stuff. So if you look up right now, if you go online and you look up, you know, fetal tissue in the vaccine, what you're going to see is them tell you that that's false, okay? They're going to flat out tell you it's false. But here's the thing. Go into the details, okay? And this is why fact checking on the service, what they want you to do is just see false and be like, oh, thank goodness, it doesn't have anything to do with fetal tissue. I'm good now. It does. But you need to go into the details. That's where the devil always is in the details. So you go into the details, and when you actually start reading down in there, you'll see that they're talking about the fetal tissue, okay? And they'll specifically talk about what it is. Now, is there legitimate fetal tissue in the vaccine? No, there isn't. Not in the vaccine. But they were using fetal tissue to test and to produce the vaccine, okay? They're using the cells from aborted fetuses to manufacture and test the vaccine. So don't pay attention to the fact-checking sites that are saying, well, there's none in it, because all they're doing is just misinterpreting the premise on which we're arguing. It is the fact that they are absolutely involved in the process of testing and making these vaccines. That's why it's important. Not every single one of them, but at least we know for the Pfizer one, that's what it is. We've known about this for a while, and all it's saying right there is that they just don't want you to know about it. They don't want the mainstream media to talk about it. They don't want to be asked about it. That's the worrying part about all of this. Now, the thing is that they want to keep everybody stupid. That's the point. The whole goal of the mainstream media, of the basic arms and legs of the Democrat Party, is to make sure that we, the American people, are as dumb as possible. Because the dumber we are, the more we're willing to go right along with their plan, the more we're willing to just conform and believe what they force feed us, whatever they hand to us on a silver platter. But we have to detach ourselves from these organizations and do our own research. And that's where this comes in at. So the thing is, when you see this, when we know that abortion is directly contributing not only to the testing, but to the production of these vaccines, what that means is that Christians can't be involved in this. We simply can't be involved in this. Because we know what's being used to fuel this research. And that is, on a moral level, just not able to line up. It's morally evil. That's what it is. We can't simultaneously praise Texas for their ability to clamp down on abortions with the newest heartbeat bill, and then in the same breath be like, yeah, but, you know, this vaccine that was created using aborted fetuses is great. We can't do that. The thing is that this isn't the first instance of this, okay? We know that this happens more often. These are proven stories, by the way. You can look these sources up, where we know for a fact that there are, the Planned Parenthood places are literally auctioning off, selling the body parts of these aborted fetuses to places. Most of the time, from my understanding, it's for scientific research. They're doing this right now. This is happening. That's a real story. It sounds like something out of a horror movie, but it is real. So we have to take that into consideration as well. They want us to think that somehow this is some type of net positive, right? Where, oh, well, you know, once you know, the abortion is already done, but we were able to take that and turn it into something good, right, with the vaccines. But that's not how this works. That's not good. We shouldn't be supporting anything that has anything to do with benefiting from or is related to people having an abortion, because what you're basically doing is using one evil act to fuel another, and that shouldn't be something that we're celebrating or vouching for whatsoever. It just shouldn't be the case at all, in my opinion. Now, this is another bit of a story here about a teacher that actually was forcing her students to sing, or tried to really force them to sing this song about being pro-mask. So check this one out.
I wear a mask to school. I wear a mask to school. Hi ho the Dario, I wear a mask to school. It helps to keep me safe. It helps to keep me safe. Hi ho the Dario, it helps to keep me safe. It keeps my friends safe. It keeps my friends safe. Hi ho the Dario, it keeps my friends safe. And let me see a hooray! Put your hands up in the air!
Now, this is the definition of brainwashing. Seriously, this is it right here. Okay, when you have a teacher that is literally trying to force these students to sing this ridiculous song, and it really just makes me wonder, like, how in the world do they think this is okay? What kind of crazy person even videos this? I mean, it's great because I have content to show you. We can see what's happening, how crazy these people are, but why? Why is this happening in the classroom right now? The kids are barely singing the song. They obviously look absolutely miserable. And if this doesn't break your heart, I don't know what to tell you. If you're listening to this on the audio, you have this maybe 10 students, little kids, I mean, that have to be around maybe 3 or 4, the oldest, that are sitting looking just sad with these masks on, trying to, with this teacher trying to force them to sing this song. It's absolutely ridiculous. We know for a fact, too, those cloth masks do basically nothing. I mean, They're poorly made. They've got massive holes in them where you can clearly where the virus could easily just get into it. It's just ridiculous to try and do that. All you're doing is restricting the child's breathing and pretending as if it's doing something. We've seen videos of the teachers touching the masks and trying to keep it on the child's face. I mean, just it's crazy how that works. You can touch the mask all day, rub stuff on it, not clean it, not wash it, but for some reason, as long as you have it on, you're totally being really, really conscious about COVID. Yeah, sure. It's against every scientific thing we know. But it's okay just because of the simple fact that they have them on. It really doesn't make any sense. You're having them sing a song of indoctrination. And the fact is that it won't change the fact that the kids aren't a huge risk for COVID anyways. It just won't. You can keep trying by singing this, but it's not going to change the facts that we have. So what you have is, not only with this video, but you have grown adults obviously forcing children to wear these masks in school. You have a lady that was on TikTok that was dancing around because she was so happy that they could mandate these masks in school. And you have them, these people claiming that unmasked children are weapons of mass destruction. That was another one I saw a lady say. Just crazy, crazy people out here right now. And now you, of course, have this video showing a miserable student singing a song about what makes them miserable. I don't get that. I really don't. All right, this episode's TikTok liberal is a person that's trying to explain they, them pronouns. But really the kicker in all of this is whatever this thing looks like. I don't even know what to say. Just check it out.
Many people ask me, how do you use they, them pronouns for a singular person? Well, it's really easy. All you have to do is use it the same way that you would talk about a group of people. So for example, I, Addison, use they, them pronouns. In that case, you talk about me like this. I know Addison. They are amazing. Their dress and their hair are amazing. And I'm so proud to know them. Now, a fun fact about they, them pronouns is that they've been used in a singular context for centuries. Even going back to Shakespearean times, there's actual documentation and literature using they and them in singular contexts. But if that still doesn't convince you to use they, them pronoun, I'll leave you with this piece of information. Our language is constantly changing and adapting. We're evolving to find new terms and language to self-identify. So get with the times, don't be an asshole.
All right, so first of all, if you're listening to this on audio, I envy you. You don't have to look at this. Honestly, it looks like a woman with a beard. I don't even know what to say to this entire... I don't even know what that is. I can't even begin to explain what it is. But you have it, what looks like some type of man trying to be a woman. So they've got, but they got the full beard, but they've got all this makeup on. Honestly, people like this exist purely for shock value. That's what this is. I mean, you can't tell me that this person isn't running around outside on purpose just to get people to look at them, to get attention, to try and spur up some type of stupid conversation, to try to come up with a reason to call somebody a bigot or whatever it is. That's what this is about. If people are acting as if like there's actual legitimate people that are trying to do this for any good reasons, I mean, nobody's doing it for a really good reason, but this is just ridiculous. This is purely just for attention. That's what this is all about. But the thing is that to their actual argument that they're trying to make there, is when you're talking about they, them, and I've talked about this extensively before, but you can't just up and change the language when you feel like it, okay? They, them is used to refer to a group of people, or when it is used to refer to a singular person, it is specifically somebody that you do not know, somebody that you don't know their name, or something like that. Like, hey, someone left their wallet because that's a singular person, but you don't know who it is, if it was a male or a female that did that, okay? Now, the thing is that she kind of goes into, or I'm saying she, but I have no idea what this thing is. I'm sorry, I really don't. I'm not even going to try anymore. So, but what they're basically talking about is trying to actually understand what is going on with the actual language, okay? Because the language is how we not only communicate, but it's how we convey emotions and so many other things. And by the end, what's crazy is that they basically say, you know what? You know, language, it changes all the time. So you know what? Even if I can't really explain it fully, it just changes. So go along with it, right? That's not how this should be. That's simply not how it should be, because there has to be some type of foundation in the language. Without that, we have nothing, right? We have no way to base anything off of. Of course, we come up with new words and, you know, words kind of change meaning a little bit over time. But you don't change the foundational thing. We don't change the definition of he or him or she and her. We don't change those definitions, right? We can add words. We can put in different types of slang, and maybe that eventually becomes a real word and we throw it in the Merriam dictionary. But you can't just go along and say, hey, well, because language changes somewhat, we can just do whatever we want. Because pretty soon, you're just making stuff up as you go along, which many of these people on TikTok are already doing. They're just coming up with new things, calling it new stuff, and just assuming that everybody's going to just figure it out and know what's going on. But what you're doing really is just confusing people. And once it gets to a necessary end, you wind up with a language that means absolutely nothing at all. That's what's crazy. And you, of course, see less of this with English, actually. I think you see it more on a foundational sense with Italian and Spanish, because those are gendered languages. There are clearly words that you use to refer to women where the word is changed, like Latina versus Latino. All of that is there. Now, they don't like that, so they have changed it or tried to change it to Latinx or Latinx or whatever they want to call it, because they legitimately don't know what to do with that language. There's thousands of words that are gendered, have a male and a female version. How do you combat that, right? So, and we don't even have that issue in English. So, and it's just crazy to me that you see this happening. It's obviously not something that typically happens with English like that, but these people are trying to uproot everything that we know, everything that we, the way that we speak, how we speak, all of that, and trying to morph it into something that they think is right, and basically just saying, you know what, who cares? Guys, get with the times. What you thought words meant means nothing right now, so you deal with it, basically. But I'm not going to deal with it at all. I know you're not either. But with that being said, that is all I have for you on the show. I thank you for watching or listening to this one. Please remember that if you are listening to this on Apple Podcasts, please leave a review, as it does help the show out here as well. Remember to follow me on Gab. I just started a profile actually on Getter as well. So check me out there. I'll kind of just be posting simultaneously on that site also. But with that being said, I thank you for watching or listening, and I will see you on the next one.